in chapter 4, verse 6 through 10, but He giveth more grace. Everyone say, more grace. See, it's one thing to have grace. It's another thing to have more grace. God gives more grace. Wherefore, He saith, God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Everyone say, submit. That's a big, bad S word right there. I've only done one wedding where the couple asked me, because I usually read Ephesians chapter 4, no, 5, to talk about, you know, the marriage thing, of some wives submit yourself to your husbands, husbands love your wives. I've only had one time where the wife asked if I would use a synonym for the word submit and don't use the word submit. Of course, y'all know me. I'll use all kinds of synonyms. I'll take care of it. I'll figure it out. That if submit is too harsh of a word for you, I will go to the thesaurus. You know, I'll go to the thesaurus, and I will find a synonym to put in there to break it down, make it easier, swallowable, palatable for whoever it needs to be. Same word, but yeah, I get it. I get maybe that word submit, maybe an ugly, hard word for it. So we'll find a more palatable word that means the same thing. Don't get me all, oh, Pastor Michael, you're... No, means the same thing. Same word, just different word. All right, submit. When God is talking about submitting to Him, what is He talking about? Now, I'll give you a good example of that, because in the tithing scripture, Malachi 3, it starts out by saying, you have left me. Well, let's go to Malachi 3. Malachi 3. Let's go to Malachi, or if you're Italian, Malachi. We've got, our school has two Malachis, and one of them is a freshman, and so the other one, he's a first grader, so he don't understand when I make the Malachi joke. He's like, So I have to just kind of, you know, as far as that goes. All right. Okay, verse 6, Malachi 3:6, for I am the Lord your God, I do not change. Okay, God doesn't change, does He? So God doesn't even change His name, does He? You know, the word name in the original Greek, and I believe the Hebrew means the same thing, name means character and authority. So the name of a person describes the character and what they have authority over, what their authority is. So the word name is not title. That's where a lot of the group that always talk about Jesus' name only and all that, They don't get that God wasn't King James. Therefore, they don't dig into what the word name means. Name is character and authority. And so they wouldn't be hung up on titles when they know the name. All right. For I am the Lord, I change not. So God doesn't change. So let me ask you this, because we're talking about all kind of stuff today. So is His name still Jehovah Rapha, the Lord that heals? Okay. All right. So if that's His character and authority, then that's what He does. That's who He is. So if we don't receive healing, then it has nothing to do with what God did or didn't do. Somewhere on our part, we didn't know something, we missed something, there's something we just don't know yet, but healing is always the will of God, okay? Jehovah Yireh, Jehovah Jireh, we know it as our provider. So if God is provision, that's what He does, that's who He is, that's all we know Him to be. And if we miss something finance-wise, then is it God's fault or is it our fault? That's our fault. There's a disconnect somewhere. And so again, that's who He is. He changes not. We can go all the way back down, Jehovah Shalom, the Lord our peace, Jehovah Nisi, the Lord our banner, the Lord our righteousness. I mean, all those different ones, again, that's who He is. He doesn't change. Verse 7, yet from the days of your fathers you have gone away from my ordinances. What's he talking about when he says ordinances? My words. My written words, my law, my rules, my regulations. You have not kept them. Then watch what he says. Return to me, and I will return to you, says the Lord of hosts. But you say, in what way shall we return? Okay, then we go into the tithes and the offering. But what I want you to see there, it says, from the days of your fathers, you have gone away from my words. You can another synonym for that is words. So he says, you've gone away from my words, but then he doesn't say return to my words. He says, return to me. Because you can't separate God from his words. So back to James chapter 4, it says, it starts out with gives more grace. He resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Submit yourself to God. So when he's saying submit yourself to God, he's saying submit yourself to my word. Submit yourself to my truths. Now, if you knew what God said in his word in the past, that's wonderful. And so you can go by memory and you can know what, you know, well, I remember reading the Bible back in 1994. You know, I remember reading the Bible back then and I saw something about this right here. Well, that's great. But your faith level, because faith is now, faith is not 1984 or 94, whatever I originally said, but faith is now. Now faith is. And so that being said, if you have not been back to the place of God's Word that you need for your life right now, then you know what we haven't done? We haven't submitted ourselves to God. Or, well, you know, Pastor Michael, I've been finding some stuff in my body. Well, you know, and the Bible says this. Yeah, I know all that. You know, I heard Brother Keith say something one time. A guy walked up to him after he got through preaching and just kind of, you know, threw his head back. Yeah, I've been following Brother Hagin since the time you were in diapers. Well, basically, what that man just said in his nonverbal, that was very verbal right there, is I know more than you. I know all that faith stuff, and I didn't listen to a word you're saying because I knew it all. That's what he just said, and he had no idea that he just said that. So what I'm saying today is submitting to God's Word is submitting to the now Word. It's finding out what He has for you right now. It's not remembering what He said a long time ago. It's finding out what He said right this very moment. And so for us to do that, we've got to stop having known it all and go back to, okay, God, evidently I missed it somewhere. How many of y'all ever missed it? Okay, how many of y'all, you missed it recently? Okay, all right, good deal. Okay, so are we down and out about it? I mean, is that a big deal? I mean, are we you know, falling all over the ground and dragging and woe is me? Absolutely not. We're not. What do we do when we miss it? We get back up, we fix ourselves, we get back to what we're supposed to be doing, and we're good to go. You know, my class at our school, they tease me sometimes because I might digress. I might get on a rabbit trail or whatever. It's because somebody asks me a question, I'm going to give them an answer. You know what I mean? I will not leave that class until they get an answer, but then I've got off my topic, and it, you know, which is okay, actually, at that class. And so what I'm saying, though, is this. You know, it's very important that the first thing we do in any situation is never assume we know it all. Never assume we have it all. Keys and I were on staff at a church in Dallas years ago, and there was a man that was an excellent teacher. I mean, this guy was a very good, he knew his material. He knew his material very well, and he was a very charismatic guy. He was a former minor league baseball player, so he made good money there. With the money he made there, he started, I think it was like a courier business. They made a lot of money in his courier business. And so naturally, because of his businesses, because of how he came from, the sports, then the business, he was quite well off. Well, because he was a good teacher and is a good-looking, charismatic guy, he had quite the following. Matter of fact, the Sunday school class that he had was about 200 people. And they loved him. And so he was a big follower of Brother Hagin. He loved Brother Hagin's ministry and taught a lot of Brother Hagin's stuff. As a matter of fact, what I've come to realize is he would really spend time, I mean, he would be listening to CDs and tapes on the way to the church and get out just in time to slip up there and teach and then slip right back out. He would not want to talk to anyone before the class and wouldn't want to talk to anyone after the class, just slip in, slip out. And so what happened was he saw how some people were acting in ministry and thought he would do the same thing. And so what happened, this guy, he started to get real eccentric. As a matter of fact, he was so spiritual that he wouldn't stand up during praise and worship. Now, listen, I know there's people that they're believing God for healing for their knees and hips and various things. So you can't criticize someone for sitting down during praise and worship. But this joker was very well just doing just fine. He was probably in his late 30s, early 40s, and there was nothing ailing about him or nothing. He wasn't having to believe God for anything right now. You know what I'm saying? And so he would read his Bible during praise and worship, and people thought that was real spiritual, that, oh, well, he must know a lot, you know, because he teaches Brother Hagin's stuff. And so then some of the guys, instead of being in the service when the pastor was teaching, they would go out in the hallway on a bench and read the Bible and act like that was spiritual as well. And so then these other guys wouldn't want to stand up during praise and worship, and they thought, well, this guy does it. He's an awesome teacher, and he's got a big Sunday school class, and everyone just dotes over him, that surely that would be the case, all right? Well, sadly enough, this guy's not serving the Lord today, and the people that followed this guy and were just absolutely drawn to this guy, they're not even serving the Lord. We've run into him, we see him, and man, I'm telling you what I'm saying is this, is these guys would say, well, you know, we listen to Brother Hagin, and we get Brother Hagin stuff, and so we really don't, we got it all. Pastor don't know it all. But Brother Hagin does, and so we don't have to listen to Pastor. We're just going to listen. We'll be there, you know, we'll tithe there and all that stuff, but we're feeding on Brother Hagin, so we're good to go. Man, if Brother Hagin ever heard that, you know what he would probably do? He would probably pimp slap him. Now, he walks in love, so maybe he would get somebody else to do it for him. You know what I'm saying? But what I'm saying, I've heard people, oh, well, you know, we follow Brother Andrew Walmack's ministry, Brother Keith's ministry, and so we don't go to church. It's Sunday morning. We're just going to sit there and watch him on. I thought, man, if they heard you doing that, they would probably, in love, of course, you know, I'm not sure. Andrew Walmack just might, but you just never know. But what I'm saying is we haven't heard it all. We haven't done it all. You're going to receive things different from, I want to say different, actually. It's not even different. You're going to receive things a little different from a pastor than you would a Bible teacher. You might receive things, you might hear, there you go. You might hear something extra from a pastor than you would an evangelist. You might hear something different from a prophet than you would a pastor. We all have different purposes. And so we're all going to need those things. That doesn't mean that one thing is obsolete and the other one isn't. But what happens is when we have heard something, oh yeah, I've heard that before, that will stop you and I from receiving more in the past. Let's look at Mark chapter 10, and I'll close with this. Mark chapter 10. Matthew, Mark, Luke. This making sense this morning? All right. I don't want to be the guy that knows it all. You know, I'm in communication with a lot of pastors that absolutely believe they know it all. Listen, I'll admit to you. I'll admit to you right now, and y'all know me. Y'all know me well enough. I'll admit to you that I'm a big talker. I got a big mouth, and I can be a little bit cocky. Now I'm not being prideful cocky like other people try to be. But what I'm saying is, I don't want to say, well, I'm just like David, you know. No, I believe David wasn't cocky when he wobbled up in there and said, hey, what happens when someone defeats this big old fat head? What do they get? You know, because David's smart. He ain't going to work for no return, you know what I'm saying? You know, I studied warfare in the Bible, natural warfare. And, you know, it is unscriptural to go to war without bringing back spoils. If you win a war, you are literally, scripturally, supposed to bring back spoils. And so I tell you, I think the U.S. ought to just let Israel do whatever Israel wants to do. Don't get in between them and other countries. Just support them, back them. Because we stop Israel from killing everybody over there that's opposing them. You know what I'm saying? Israel can have all this oil. We could buy from Israel. I'd rather buy oil from Israel than buy from these Iraq and Iran, all these other countries. Shoot, man, let's get back to Bible politics. All right, anyway. Let us stop right there. All right, so Mark chapter 10. And let's look at verse 17. Now he was going out the road. One came running, knelt before him, and asked him, good teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? So Jesus said to him, why do you call me good? No one is good but one, that is God. You know, I told you last week about how when folks say, well, Pastor, I'm submitted to you, and if you ever need to correct me, you just correct me. And I've told you how 10 times out of 10 they left the church. And so that's exactly what the same thing this joker was doing right here. And listen, you know when folk are submitted. You ain't got to tell them. I know if you are or not. It's one of those things. You ain't got to tell me all that baloney. All right. So anyhow, so he said, Why do you call me good? No one is good but one, that is God. You know the commandments. Do not commit adultery. Do not murder. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Do not defraud. Honor your father and mother. And he answered and said to him, Teacher, all these things I have kept from my youth. So in other words, he came to Jesus knowing that he was going to be publicly commended for doing all the right stuff. Because you know what? I know all the right stuff to do. I was raised in church all my 46 years. Let's see. I've got a Bible school diploma from Texas Bible Institute. I have a diploma from the leadership training course, which is hardcore. I have a diploma from the Birchfield Ministries School of Ministry. I was ordained by Believers World Outreach Church and Joan Hunter or Charles and Francis Hunter Ministries. I've had Brother John Osteen lay hands on me and commission me in the ministry. So y'all need to dote over me. That doesn't mean nothing. Where am I right now? What's my word level now? What's my faith level now? It doesn't matter all the good I've done or good I'm doing. The question is, where am I on the inside right now? Because some of the same people that walk the same road that I walked are not even serving God today. And so I don't really care about what I knew or what you knew or your backgrounds and all that kind of stuff. Where are we right now? And he answered and said to him, Teacher, all these things I have kept from my youth. Verse 21, then Jesus looking at him, loved him and said. Now, why does it specifically say he loved him and said? It's just like this right here. He looked at him. Oh, you know, I love you. This is so frustrating. I love you. Okay, but here it goes, buddy. I was hoping you weren't going to brag about all this stuff and all about you. It's all about you. I was hoping. But I love you, and those who you love, you correct, right? All right. One thing you lack. Go your way, sell whatever you have, and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven, and take up your cross and follow me. But he was sad at this word and went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. You see, when we are high-minded, when we are proud, we are also unteachable. When we take stock in our path, you see, we're not supposed to take stock in our bad. Why do you think we're supposed to take stock in our good? You know, today's a new day. It's a new day. I do a new thing. And behold, everybody talks about, well, you know, the revivals of the past. Oh, them were the good old days. Sweetheart, if you get your mind off the revivals of yesterday and focus on what God is saying is not only going to happen, what already is happening right now, we a whole lot greater things will be happening right now. Does that make sense? But the Welch revival and this revival and all these other, those great generals. I appreciate the generals. I learned a lot from those guys, you know. But at the same time, God wants us to think about and to meditate on what he's saying right now for you and I. This morning, very simply, God has revelation and truth for our now. But if we are so excited about the past, if we are so strong in what, I've read so-and-so's books, and I've come to find out that I forgot what so-and-so's book said. You know, matter of fact, I'm starting to reread some of these books that people read, but wrote that ministered to my life, and y'all know all the people that ministered to my life. And so why? Because I can't remember. That revelation is gone. It's faded. Just like what Brother Copeland says. He says, you know, he said, what's easier to remember? The memory of the taste of some good potatoes or the taste of it actually currently in your mouth? Listen, God has something fresh for you and I. It's not the same old, same old. God wants to take the same verses you and I have been reading for the last 20, 30, 40, 80 years, however old we may be, take those same verses and make them brand new as if we never heard them before. But what it takes is submitting to the Word again. Submit yourself to God. Resist the devil and he will flee. You see, if we don't properly submit ourselves to the Word, we really can't resist the devil. We can't resist the devil. Why? Because in the garden or in the wilderness, Matthew 4, Luke 4, Jesus, every answer to every temptation, every attack of the enemy started with the Word. So if not, you know, a lot of people say, well, you know, the devil attacks me. I just say, oh, not today, not today. Well, show me that in the Bible. I mean, I'm not trying to be ugly, you know, about the song or whatever, and the, you know, all the memes and stuff. Not today, devil, not today. Well, that's cute and all, but is that it? You think he's going to listen to not today? Not today? Not today, devil, not today. Bam! You're going to be surprised when you get a big devil, you know, slap on your face. It's the Word. It's the Word. It's submitting ourselves to the Word. That's what gets him out of our face. It's time to submit to the Word. Let's stand. You see, David's brothers, man, they were the ones who were prideful too. They were like, what are you trying to, you prideful little teenager? You just came here to stir up trouble, didn't you? David says, what have I done now? He said, listen to this. He said, is there not a cause, that word cause. I'll say this over and over again because it's so powerful. The word cause in the Hebrew is the word debar. It's the same word for the word word. So what David, that's why you got to study this stuff out, because King James didn't do that. That passage justice, big time, lost it. What David said was, is there not a word? Why are you scared? Is there not a word? He's like, man, you big old brothers, y'all are good looking, y'all are stronger, you're built, you're military minded and all that, and you're scared? Don't you have, I ain't got no training, but I got the Word, and I'll be fine to go out there and take care of this for y'all little wimps, because y'all all big for nothing, and I got a Word. You see, we don't need to worry about, well, you know, so-and-so got a big pocketbook, that's why they can do it. I hear that from ministers all the time. Well, you know, you got a big church, that's why you can do what you do. And when they find out what I had in the church that previous Sunday, they're like, oh, okay, I guess my church is three times your size and we can't do that much. Okay then. I don't look at y'all to get things done for the kingdom. I look at this to get things done for the kingdom. If I get my eyes on y'all, guess who gets the pressure put on them? And guess who's out the door when they get pressure? When they find out the pastor is not believing God, they're believing people for money? Man, I'd say get out of that place. Get on out. They're going to milk you until you ain't got nothing left. But listen, we have a word. And it's not the word from last year. Well, why do you teach the same thing over and over again? Because it's fresh every single year. Valerie said this. I was going to say, she said last week that, I'm so glad to hear, I never heard it before, but Brother Hagin set us free to be repetitious. I'm telling you, Brother Copeland set us free to buy airplanes. Aren't you glad that God is using ministers to set us free from the opinions of man? Well, you can't teach the same thing every Sunday. Who said? Who said? Won't you just be Spirit-led? What do you plan on preaching next year? I don't know. God ain't showed me that yet. What are you preaching next week? Well, I kind of have an idea, but as far as which direction, I can't tell you right now. Listen, as we submit ourselves to God, you watch what He does. He might use the same verses He used last year, but you know what? It's going to be deeper. It's going to be powerful. The light's going to be brighter because we are going from glory to, there it is. Let's bow our heads. Father, we thank You for Your Word today. We thank You that You are light. And God, Your Word is light. And Lord, You said that we are going from glory to glory. And so, Father, the words that we heard last year, You're just building on the same passage, on the same word, You're building us higher and higher. But Lord, You're giving us fresh light, fresh revelation, fresh understanding. And Lord, we're not excited about what we learned last year. We're excited about what You're telling us now. Because God, now faith is. And so today, Jesus, we look to You as living Word. We don't look to Your past, we look to Your present, because we recognize faith is present. Hope is future, faith is present. And so, Father, today, we thank You for revelation knowledge. We thank You that the eyes of our understanding are enlightened, and we know what is the hope of Your calling. God, we know what the expectation You have for us really is. And Father, if we have taken stock in our past, Father, we repent today. Because God, we don't want to be the people that knew it all. We want a people that know the Holy Ghost presently, who already knows it all. And so, Father, we thank you for it now in Jesus' name. Now, with every head bowed and every eye closed, I want you to say this after me. Father, in Jesus' name, I submit to your word, your now word. I don't look to my past. I look to your now word, your rhema, your revelation, the spirit of revelation, who has something to say now. Holy Spirit, I look to you for answers, information, revelation, to build on the scriptures of the past, but a fresh revelation every time I look. I believe from this point on, my faith will continually increase. Unbelief will steadily decrease. And the vision that you've placed inside will get bigger and bigger. And because I'm following your word, I'll get closer and closer. In Jesus' name, amen. Do y'all receive that this morning? Man, I'm excited about what